Hey there, sister. Welcome to Girl Out of Order, a podcast for women like me taking actual steps to more fully embrace their unique selves and stop trying to fit into someone else's mold. I'm your girl, Christine, and I am a multi-passionate entrepreneur, lawyer, and mama to my very own girl gang. I am fired up to help women transform what seems broken into the fuel they need to become the champions of their own damn lives. On Girl Out of Order, you'll find a community without comparison, a place where you can come as you are, but leave changed and inspired to never again deny a single part of your beautiful self in a quest to fit in. So if you're tired of feeling like you're too much and yet never enough, Girl Out of Order is your home. When you start believing that not fitting in is the perfect fit, contentment, vision, and joy will surely follow. So girls, if you're ready to do the brave work, come on in and let's get started. Welcome back to Girl Out of Order. I am so glad that you have joined me for the next installment in my V Does Not Define Me series. Before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to take a minute to tell you about something that has got me so freaking fired up. I have created the Girl Out of Order podcast Facebook community, and I hope every single one of you signs up immediately so we can start drawing strength from one another, so we can start being inspired by one another. Because honestly, if we don't form a community, then it's just my voice going out into the world, but not accomplishing the purpose of building bridges between all women, because we are so much stronger together. We are so much more alike than we are different. And this is an opportunity to join this community and start giving back to one another. Remember, living, real living, is actually found when you are giving. Yes, you will gain so much from this community, but when you give to others, when you share your stories, and when your mess becomes a message that can positively impact other women, dude, your life is going to go to the next level. And that's what the Girl Out of Order podcast Facebook community is all about. I am hoping that I will stand back as the proud mama and watch as you women reach one another and form connections and build up this community so we can start changing the world one beautiful woman life at a time. So sign up as quickly as you can and join the Facebook community. I will be in there as many days a week as I possibly can, and I look so forward to connecting with all of you. To that end, I wanted to give a huge shout out to the Girl Out of Order podcast international community. Ladies, I got to tell you, I am so blown away when I have the privilege of looking at the stats of who is downloading this podcast. And I want to let you guys know that this isn't just from the United States, because remember, we are all women, no matter where we live, where we're from, and what our experiences are. We have so much in common. We have women joining us from Australia, Canada, Spain, Mexico, the United Kingdom, India, Romania, Brazil, Turkey, Pakistan, Tajikistan. I don't even think I could possibly say that word right. And I want to give a special shout out to the contingent of you badass Girls Out of Order in Germany. There are so many of you downloading this podcast, and I am really anxious to figure out who you are and get to know you, ladies. You have so much to offer and teach me as a woman from the middle of the United States, and I must be doing or saying something that is impacting you, because I am watching the German community grow and I'm so anxious to get to know you, ladies. So I'm giving you all my direct email right now. It is Christine, Christine, at girloutoforder.com. Please do not hesitate to reach out. And ladies, all of you, from no matter where you're from New Hampshire to California to Florida to Texas to Michigan and all around the world, please, please, please join the Girl Out of Order Facebook community so we can get to know one another, because we're truly going to be a force to be reckoned with. Now that we've got that exciting news out of the way, or rather just frankly announced, let's dive into the Girl Out of Order, My V Does Not Define Me series. The next installment is called Hearing Voices, Silencing the Shitty Committee. I am so excited doesn't seem to be the right word, but I just really am looking forward to hearing how this next message impacts the way that you beautiful ladies show up in your world and the world at large. Because being a girl out of order, I'm kind of realizing I may have done the words out of order. So the last two episodes were about not apologizing, not freaking sorry. And you all were treated to the oldest member of my girl gang, Chloe Gale, and our interview about how she shows up in the world as a 21-year-old young woman with confidence, not apologizing for who she is, how she's designed, and what her big dreams are. And I hope that you were so blessed by Chloe, because I gotta tell you, it is one hell of a privilege to be her mama. Anyway, so we talked about not apologizing and the problem that women have with the sorry syndrome. And it occurred to me as I was planning this next episode that I may have gotten things a little bit out of order, but it seems completely appropriate for this podcast. I wanted to take a step back and dive into the internal dialogue that women in particular struggle with that often leads to things like the sorry syndrome. And in our next few episodes, after today's episode, we are going to be getting a lot more fact specific. What do I mean by that? I mean that after this episode, we're going to start tackling specific areas in the lives of women that we need to make sure we are not limiting ourselves because we happen to be female human beings. For example, we are going to be tackling women in the marketplace. We are going to be talking about women's family choices. We are going to be talking about relationship roles. And I've got a few others in the hopper as well. So after today, we're going to start applying some of the principles that I'm going to teach you today. And I can speak to the shitty committee because it is a daily battle for me. But I am very blessed to have a results coach through the Tony Robbins organization, and she has really pushed me and opened my eyes to how every single thought in my brain leads to the words that leave my mouth, that leads to the actions I take, whether they be empowering actions or disempowering actions. The quality of our lives, ladies, is determined by the quality of our language. And that, my friends, does not necessarily mean the words coming out of our mouth. It's the words that are inside our minds. And that's where we're going today. Before we dive into the meat of today's episode, we have to give a pause and deliver the empowereds for this week's episode. And the empowereds come from, this woman is so phenomenal. She is married to one of the most powerful personal development teachers in the world. And of course, I am talking about Tony Robbins. The partner to Tony Robbins, his wife, Sage Robbins, is such a deceptively gentle spirit, but she is a lion. She is powerful. And I heard this saying by a gentleman in my business mastery group, and he said one of his business mottos is, a lion doesn't need to roar. And I was so impacted by that. And that's how I think of Sage Robbins. A lion doesn't need to roar. And that's just a little bit of an aside. So let me bring it back around to the empowereds. Sage has this quote that goes like this. It says, "If we want life to change, it is up to each of us to let go of what is no longer serving us." And Sage freaking Robbins hit it right on the head, because what is no longer serving us is often those messages that are in our brain coming from the shitty committee. So let me read it again. If we want life to change, it is up to each of us to let go of what is no longer serving us. And I wanted to add a second kind of a sub empowereds for the week, because I've been really enjoying the teaching of Donald Miller. Yes, I know he's a dude, but that's okay. He can play too. Donald Miller has a company called StoryBrand, and I've been deeply impacted by how he has, how he teaches that stories actually are the way that people not only sell, but that people change. And so I use a lot of stories in the way that I do my podcast and the way that I do my writing and my teaching. And I love this very succinct way that he puts this quote. He says, "Words create worlds." So when you put that together with Sage's quote, we have set the stage for today's episode called Hearing Voices, Silencing the Shitty Committee. So remember, ladies, the quality of your life is determined by the quality of your language, and your words create your world. So let's dive in. Have you all ever heard the phrase, "Committees are the place that dreams go to die"? It's so freaking true. If you want to make very little progress on your dreams, your plans, your visions, your goals, form a damn committee. Yeah, committees in churches, committees in Congress, committees in workplaces often means that the progress is either going to slow way down or it's going to halt altogether. The shitty committee. What do I mean by the shitty committee? Well, women have a lot of messages that bombard us every day. We always have since the beginning of time, and it's no different now, except it may have, I don't know, sped up a little bit with the advent of social media, which is another topic for another time. I'm not going to spend the time bemoaning social media, because if it weren't for social media, we wouldn't have a podcast community. So it can do some good. But with or without social media, women form committees in their head voluntarily and sometimes involuntarily. So who makes up your shitty committee? Well, it could be a number of influences, such as historical limitations on female humans. It could be limitations or negative messages from your family of origin. Lord knows the millions of dollars that have been spent on therapy addressing issues inside our minds that influence our lives from our family of origin. How about cultural expectations? Obviously, I'm from the heartland of America, so I have different cultural expectations than the listeners in Pakistan or Turkey or, you know, any other country. They're going to be nuanced from place to place. Unfortunately, women have a very vibrant, shitty committee that arises out of pain and trauma and loss. And all of those things are real. So even though I tend to approach things a little bit tongue-in-cheek, please understand that I do not mean to be flippant about the messages that we carry within our minds and in our bodies that can arise from trauma. I have my own traumatic past. And as the incredibly powerful book says, the body does keep the score. So those are very real messages that we have to fight, and pain, trauma, and loss often takes a place, takes one of the seats on our shitty committee. Friend groups, people we surround ourselves with, they are very powerful influences on the shitty committee. Sometimes it's our work environment, the people that we spend more time with than we spend with the people that we love can really influence our attitudes and our outlook and our language. Religious structures. Now that's a big hot button, but it's been a really difficult influence in my own life, in my marriage, in my parenting, and in my overall belief in my, my dreams, frankly. And then last but most definitely not least, one of the largest members of our shitty committee are often other freaking women. That's right. We put so much pressure on one another as women that sometimes if we allow it to happen, we can internalize the messages that we receive from other women about what is expected of us and what we can and cannot achieve. So that is the shitty committee. And here are some of the really difficult things that we deal with, these messages, these voices that we hear. See if you resonate with any of these voices, these messages that are inside that internal dialogue, but doesn't necessarily come out verbally. I'm too much, and I'm never enough. I am too emotional. I cannot trust my instincts. I am less than dot, dot, dot. You fill in the blank. My dreams, my wants don't matter as much as, again, dot, dot, dot. You fill in the blanks. This one hurts. I am an imposter. My body is old. My body is not attractive. I exist to meet the needs of others. It is selfish for me as a woman, a mother, a wife, a daughter, whomever you want to fill in the blank on that one. It is selfish of me to want success. My boldness equates with arrogance. I could sadly go on because there are so many painful examples that women carry within their psyche, those inner voices that are so damaging. They're destructive to the impact that you as an individual woman are designed to have on the world. You are designed for an extraordinary life with unlimited potential. And these voices in our head, this shitty committee, is one of the most destructive things, one of the most destructive forces in the lives of women that keep us from having a massive impact and leading a life that is fulfilling and truly extraordinary. Remember, the biggest problems, the biggest obstacles or hindrances to you having a fulfilling and happy life are often the smallest words or messages that infiltrate your everyday life. The way that you show up in this world, the way you show up for yourself, for your job, for your dreams, for your family, for your health, are often influenced by the tiniest messages from your very vociferous, your very loud, obnoxious, and unwelcome shitty committee. So what are those negative messages that go on inside your mind that prevent you from showing up the way that you should and taking up the amount of space that you deserve because you are extraordinary? What are those messages? Have you stopped and thought about the language that you use? Do you use phrases like, I'm just so tired, you know, it's all just too much, I could never? Maybe you say those things, but maybe those are the things in your mind that when you show up for your dreams and you show up for your life, you show up less than you truly not only deserve, but want. You have wants that matter. You have a life that is designed for you. You have a unique contribution. And when we allow the shitty committee to be the filter through which we make our decisions, that's what derails our dreams. Remember, your life is decided at the point of decision. So this isn't just a philosophical conversation about, oh, you should just really work on your internal dialogue. Well, that's a big part of it. Obviously, if you don't work on your internal dialogue, you're going to stay stuck. The purpose of this particular episode is to get you to stop and notice, stop and recognize what is the quality of your internal dialogue. What messages are you giving to yourself that then affect the way that you show up? Because a lot of what we do is subconscious. This shitty committee, if you remember the examples I gave you, family of origin, cultural expectations, etc., they are often very subtle. They're very sneaky. Pain, trauma, loss, that's a lot louder of a message, but it's those subtle digs, those sideways comments, those expectations that you grew up with. That's the harder shitty committee to silence, but that's what we're going to do here today. So it's one thing to recognize the problem, but if we stopped there, then this would be nothing more than a bitch session, and that doesn't serve you, and it doesn't serve me, because I am in this battle with you. I am learning, I am growing, and I am constantly working on silencing that shitty committee. Every human being has it, but we need tools and a framework to tackle that inner dialogue and flip the damn script on our shitty committee. So if you're ready to do that, let's get after it. I want to share with you an extraordinary woman named Byron Katie. She goes by Katie, which I suppose if you have a first name Byron and you had a pick between Byron and Katie, well, I'd pick Katie too. That's just me. Anyway, Byron Katie is a wonderful, wonderful teacher, and she has created what she calls The Work. Now, I got to be honest, this is an amazing body of work, but to call it The Work, well, you know, I guess she called it like she sees it. Not very creative, but it's pretty accurate. Because even in its simplicity, it shows its depth and the profound approach that she takes to dealing with our internal dialogue can literally transform your life. So what is The Work? And I'm not even kidding. I am sitting here holding her book and looking at her, well, God, I can't use any other name but work. See, I guess she did pick the right way, the right descriptor because, well, it is work. She has a book called Loving What Is, and it's the subtitle is Four Questions That Can Change Your Life. It seems very simplistic, and that's its power. The power of The Work is in its simplicity, but you gotta do the work. And you can't stop at question two, and you can't stop at question three. You got to do the whole process. So what is that framework? What are those four questions, and why should you even bother? Well, first of all, you should bother because unless you want to live the rest of your life listening to your shitty committee, you might as well do something, because what you're doing probably isn't unleashing the power I know, girl, you have inside you. So let's try something different. Let's silence this shitty committee because it's going to be a daily discipline. So what is The Work? So The Work is very simple in that it asks four questions about some, a lot of times she'll do them with certain circumstances and interactions with people. But for our purposes, we're going to ask four questions about what we believe about ourselves. So what are those four questions? The first question, is it true? Yes or no? If no, you move to question three. But the reality is if you're asking question one, chances are you're already aware that there's something off with what you believe. Question two, can you absolutely know that it's true? I'm going to go through all four of these and then we're going to unpack them and use an example. Question three, how do you react or what happens when you believe that thought? And finally, question four, Who or what would you be without that thought? Now, when I first read this, I'm going to be super honest. I rolled my eyes. I'm like, seriously, that's it? And I was kind of mad because I was expecting something like to blow my mind. But let me tell you, just hang in there with me because your mind will literally be blown. Because once you start implementing the work and being more aware and more tuned into your thoughts, you're going to be like, holy crap, I did not realize how big my shitty committee is, how many members of this committee there are, and how they influence my everyday life. And you're going to say, that's enough. And you're going to start implementing these four questions. And you're going to start questioning your committee to the point that they are eventually going to become inaudible. And that is the goal, because that is the moment that you start living into your truest self. And at Girl Out of Order, what we are about is living into our truest self, living into the person that we have been designed to be, and unleashing our unique power to have an extraordinary life and impact our world for good. Are you ready? All right, let's use an example. The example I want to use is something that is very personal to me because it's something that I battle. And it is the phrase, I'm an imposter. Oh my goodness. I know imposter syndrome might seem like a little bit of a buzz phrase right now, but let's really stop and think about what that means. I'm an imposter. It is one of the most paralyzing messages I know I personally deal with, and I truly believe a lot of women deal with this, especially if we are trying to branch out into maybe a more traditionally male environment, or we are reaching for big, bold dreams. That voice in our head, that's the shitty committee, by the way, is saying, they're all going to find out. Everybody's going to realize that you are a fake, you are an imposter, and you are going to be exposed. That is very painful, and it's paralyzing, and it actually makes it easy to not show up for your dreams. So, first question, I'm an imposter. Is it true? Well, it's kind of like you want to go, well, yeah, it's because I believe that. But really? Really? You're an imposter? Think about what that word means. Okay, no, it's, well, yes. Your gut instinct with question one is, yes, it is true. I'm an imposter. Okay? Move to number two. Can you be absolutely sure? Can you absolutely know that it's true? Now, that's the point. If you were vacillating on number one, you have to admit you cannot absolutely know it's true that you are an imposter, because the word imposter and what that means is, it's pretty serious. It's like literally you I'm going to come up with a weird example, but you put on a pilot's uniform for United and you get into the cockpit and you're like, yeah, let's do this, when you are a mechanic and you've never flown a plane. That's an imposter. But when you're stepping into your dreams and you're reaching for more, there's a lot of layers to that, a lot of nuances to that. Are you an imposter? No, it just means maybe you haven't done this yet, but that doesn't mean you're an imposter. So number two, can you absolutely know it's true? Yes or no? Well, no. I mean, come on, can't absolutely know it's true. Then we start getting into the meat of the work. Question three, and this is where, if you're being very honest, and you have to be honest for the work to work, you've got to be very authentic with yourself. The question is, how do you react? What happens in you when you believe that thought? And Byron Katie at the, I think it's called thework.com. Thework.com. Oh, there you go. See, again, super simple. I wanted to make it more complicated. She has a lot of free resources there, and I would strongly encourage you to go to thework.com and download the different elements of the four questions. For question three, she has this extremely detailed emotions list, and I started reading it, and being somebody who absolutely loves juicy words, I was really taken by the way she expands on the major emotions. So the ones she uses are angry, depressed, confused, helpless, indifferent, afraid, hurt, sad, and judgmental. But when you start looking underneath them to all these different words that express how you react, how you feel, how you show up, the emotions that are going on inside you when you believe that shitty thought. Whew. So I'm going to take I'm an imposter. And I will tell you that that makes me feel helpless. And I would say sad. So let's start there. If I'm believe that I'm an imposter and I feel helpless, the first one hit me right between the eyes. I am paralyzed. If I believe that it's true that I'm an imposter, I'm paralyzed. That means I don't hit record on this podcast because I have no idea what I'm going to say. And I don't know if what I say is going to make any difference. And then they're all going to know I'm just a big fraud. I don't even show up because I'm paralyzed. That's how I react when I believe that I'm an imposter. I also feel incompetent. I feel incapable, inferior. It's really hard even to read these because they really affect me. And I would imagine I'm not alone, that they affect a lot of you, especially when you are trying something new, when you are doing something out of the quote-unquote norm, outside of the expectations that you've placed on yourself or the world has placed on you. I feel sad. I'm anguished. I'm unhappy. I'm downhearted. Yeah, these are really hard things to read. So what the hell am I going to do about it? Am I going to stay hurt and confused and sad and depressed and paralyzed? No, because I'm here to do the work. And if you're listening to this podcast, get yourself to thework.com and start doing this work with those messages, those voices that you are hearing in your head, because they are impacting your everyday life, even if you don't realize it. Start realizing it. Dial in. Be quiet. Listen to those voices. When you find yourself saying something to somebody, ask yourself, where's that coming from? When you get ready to, I'm a trial attorney, so if I'm getting ready for trial, I'm hoping it's going to go well today. It's going to go freaking awesome because I've done the work. I've prepared. I'm brilliant. I'm going to show up and fight for my client. I'm just using that example from my own life, but it can apply to anything. When I had 6'4", 2" and new little people that I was trying to keep alive, back then I had nothing but a shitty committee. I'll be really honest, really battled self-doubt and lack of self-worth and comparison to other moms that I felt like were doing it better. But even back then, I would get up and I would say certain things like, oh my gosh, this is just too much. I can't do this. I'm not enough. Man, I wish I could go back and tell that young mama Christine, my gosh, my life is blessed. This is amazing. I'm the only mom that God picked for these four beautiful girls. And I have everything that I need to meet their needs and not only meet their needs, but enjoy being their mama. It's going to be an extraordinary day. Do you see how I flipped the script? How do you think I felt believing that I wasn't enough and it was too much and I was inadequate? Well, obviously, pretty much the same things as feeling like I'm an imposter. So let's talk about question four, because then it's getting good. And I know we're getting kind of sad. So let's turn this around. Question four, who or what would you be without that thought? Now, it doesn't mean the thought's gone, but close your eyes. Picture yourself feeling how you would feel if you didn't have that thought, if you didn't believe that you were an imposter. What would your life look like? What would the quality of your days be like? Would you dream more? Would you get more creative? Would you get more, feel more vibrant? Would you be more sexual? Would you be more healthy? What would you feel? What would your life be like if you didn't believe that thought? And the list that she has at thework.com is awesome. Trust me, you want to be on this question. You want to be on this page. If I did not believe I was an imposter, if I didn't even let that thought be on my shitty committee, well, on the committee at all, obviously I'm trying to get rid of the whole shitty committee, but if I didn't allow that thought to influence the way that I showed up for my day, I would be open, loving, happy, interested, alive, positive, peaceful, strong, and relaxed. Okay, I don't know about relaxed because that really isn't in my DNA, but you get the idea. Those are her main categories. So let's talk about alive, because when I think about not giving in to imposter syndrome, I feel so much more alive. I feel a surge of energy and excitement and creativity and determination. So if I'm alive, I'm feeling courageous and liberated and exhilarated and spirited. Frisky. Sorry, I couldn't resist. That one jumped out at me. I don't know about frisky, but that's a great word. I'm feeling communicative. I'm feeling spunky. Now, that is definitely me. So when I'm not giving into this imposter syndrome, I'm feeling positive and enthusiastic. I'm feeling strong and self-affirming. I'm feeling happy. I'm feeling open. When I say open, I love this. I'm feeling connected and friendly because I'm not sitting there beating myself up and allowing this shitty committee to be screaming inside my brain. So let's recap. 4 questions to the work. They're simple questions with very profound and life-changing answers. Is it true? You are knee-jerk probably going to say yes, because otherwise what would you be doing with this thought anyway? But that's why number 2 exists. Can you be absolutely sure that it's true? And all of us, unless you're being really, really strong and belligerent, that's not the right word. But, you know, if you're really fighting the work, you might say, I can absolutely know it's true. But most of us will have to begrudgingly admit, no, I cannot be absolutely sure that it's true. Number 3, how do you react? What happens in you? How do you feel? Like, where do you feel it in your body? Like, do you feel tension in your shoulders? You know, honestly, emotions are felt in the body. And when you believe that you are an imposter, when you believe that you are not enough, whatever that negative thought in your head, where do you feel it in your body? A lot of times I feel it in my throat when it comes to feeling like an imposter. Like I get a lump in my throat. And you got to go through this process of acknowledging what that shitty committee message is doing to you. What is it doing to you when you allow yourself to believe that it's true? Because you just said in number 2 that you can't absolutely be sure it's true. So if you've already conceded that point, and then you see how it makes you feel when you believe it's true, then how about you get to number 4 and imagine your life if you didn't believe that it was true, if you didn't allow that thought to take up space in your beautiful brain. Closing your eyes and picturing yourself living the life that you could live if you were free of that negative thought, that mindset work is absolutely the linchpin to silencing your shitty committee. And you can do this, ladies. I can do this. Every day, I am trying to dial in more and more to the language I choose, the words I pick, the way that I speak inside my brain, and the words that come out of my mouth as a result. When I say things like, well, my pattern or my habit is, my coach will say, your habit was. That doesn't mean that I don't still battle it. It just means I'm changing the quality of my language because I'm not allowing my shitty committee, my old habits, my old patterns to come out of my mouth. I'm not allowing those thoughts to control my language because I want to control the quality of my life. And that is controlled by the quality of your language. Remember, words create worlds, right? And like Sage Robbins says, if we want our life to change, it is up to each and every one of us to let go of what is no longer serving us. This is a deep concept. It is a deep concept that is critical for your personal growth. And I want for each and every one of you to embark on silencing your shitty committee. And then being an example to other women of how to do the same for them. Imagine if you could be free of those limiting beliefs that keep you trapped and paralyzed, that keep you from living your best life, whatever it looks like for you. But until we start recognizing that we have a shitty committee and start pulling apart those messages through the four questions in the work, we're probably going to stumble along living a little bit less of a life than we truly deserve. Go to thework.com. Look into Byron Katie's work, because I promise you, the simplicity, don't let it fool you. It is profound, but it is hard, because sometimes it's really hard to look at what our life is like as a result of those messages. But when you close your eyes and you truly visualize who and what you will be when you no longer serve that thought because it is not serving you, don't bow down to your shitty committee. Silence them. Take a moment every day to capture your thoughts and run them through the work. Is it true? Can you be absolutely sure it's true? Who are you and what do you feel when you believe that shitty thought? And then who are you and what is your life going to be like when you no longer believe that that thought is true? Because oftentimes, even if there are kernels of truth in it, that belief that we have that formed in that shitty committee is not in and of itself true. And you can battle it and you are worth it. You are more than enough and you are worth doing the work. Those voices you hear in your head, those need to be controlled by you and all of your goodness. Silence the shitty committee. Dial into those thoughts today and start doing the work and being intentional about the language you choose, because your beautiful words are going to create a beautiful world. Ladies, you are worth it. You can do this. And when we start on this road of silencing our shitty committee and then freeing up all that brain space and our neural pathways so we can just be the best version of ourselves that we can be, because this is some powerful work. We're going to be a community of unleashed women when we stop allowing the voices in our head that come from our shitty committee to control our decisions, to control our dreams. We're going to be unleashed. I cannot wait to see how extraordinary your lives are going to become when you silence your shitty committee and start unleashing your God-given potential. Because I believe in you, sister. And we can do this together. So to that end, get over to the Facebook community and sign up. I cannot wait to meet you all there. And I can't wait to see the connections that are going to be formed between you women from around this world. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode in my V Does Not Define Me series. If you liked this episode, if you felt like it impacted you in any way, please, please, please take a picture of this episode and share it with anybody you care about, anybody you think could benefit from this. I would greatly appreciate that. In the meantime, get ready to do the work this week. I want to hear stories about how the work is impacting you and helping you silence your shitty committee. Join me next week when we tackle how our V should not be defining us in the marketplace, in the workplace. Until then, have an extraordinary week and get after the work, because you're worth it. We'll see you next time.